former Congo militia leader Thomas Lubanga will be brought to trial soon at the International Criminal Court. He's accused of war crimes that include conscripting child soldiers, but he hasn't been charged with sexual crimes, although the many girl combatants he has conscripted not only were forced to fight, but also were kept as sex slaves. With me now for the second part of today's Underreported is Bukeni Tete Waruzi, director of Project Ajedi Ka in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. His organization helps rehabilitate and advocate for child soldiers or former child soldiers. I'm very pleased to welcome him back to the show. Hello.
Thank you. Hello.
How many child soldiers were there at the peak of the violence in Congo? Do we know?
In the Democratic Republic of Congo, it was estimated that more than 30,000 child soldiers have been recruited by all armed group and forces fighting in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Split equally between boys and girls?
Not really equally, but because over 30% of these child soldiers were girls.
Mm-hmm. So 30% were girls. And do we have any sense of their age range?
Usually girl soldiers are between 12 and 15 years old.
And were they expected to fight alongside the boys?
Usually they are recruited to be combatant, but most importantly, the sexual abuse is the only main motivation of their recruitment.
I'm sure you've spoken to a fair number. What was their daily life like when they were the soldiers?
Yes, I usually have this habit to speak to these girl soldiers in the camp and after they return home. Their daily schedule usually was they were asked to cook for all the team. You can imagine when you are combatant, like 100 or 200 group, you have to cook for all of them to make, for example, spice activities, etc. But most importantly, the commanders and other soldiers would call them and just abuse them sexually anytime.
There's a former child soldier named Madeline who's accompanied you to New York, and she couldn't be part of this interview because she doesn't speak English. But I hope you'll share her story with us. How old is she now?
Madeleine is now 15 years old. She has been recruited in 2003 by a militias group called Mai Mai in Uvira region, South Kivu province, Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo.
When you say recruited, what does that mean?
That means she was abducted by this militias group and taken into the camp. She spent there about 2 years and a half, and she was demobilized last year in April. Now she's now working with us. We have integrated her in our organization, and she's our advisor in the reintegration and the prevention of the recruitment of girl soldiers.
And she's sitting out in the hall
she's
right now.
She's sitting outside because she can't speak English. She just speaks a very little French. But what is very interested in her is that she has the skills of advocates, and I think her voice is very important to participate in key audiences like United Nations and also International Criminal Court.
Well, I'd imagine that one of the great difficulties is returning to civilian life and reintegrating yourself into society. And perhaps what she's doing is a way of also affecting a transition.
Exactly. That is the most problem what face girl soldiers, especially when they have to come back home. Usually 80% of these girl soldiers came back home with babies. Then these babies don't have any identity, and they are rejected in the community. So Madeleine's advocacy is to ask to the world to do something to help them, to help these girls economically, and also because they are facing many stigma and discrimination within the community, since this use of child soldier, especially girl soldier, is a very grave crime what should be prosecuted, and these girls should get the reparations.
Have all the girl soldiers been returned to civilian life?
Yes, usually when they are demobilized, they are coming back. We take them back home. But the problem is how now they are integrated in this community, since the community itself faces many problems, poverty and other health issues.
So that means all of them have been demobilized? Aren't there some who are still being kept by some of these commanders as possessions?
Not at all, because there is two reasons. Because the demobilization process is still going over. And also there is another sort of recruitment, what we call re-recruitment. This means these girls who have been demobilized, who have been taken back home, they are again re-recruited into this militia, not to be used as soldiers, but to be used as sexual slaves. You know, they were wives of commanders and other combatants. While they get back home, these commanders and this combatants would come again into community and seek to these girls to take them back in the camp and use them as sexual slaves.
And I'd imagine some of them are very confused by this, because this is the only life that they've known. They're probably more comfortable in a very sad way living this way rather than going home to a society that they have little connection to.
That's a big problem of the reintegration, because since now no research have been able to really identify what will be the best way to integrate these women in the community. But what is well widely known is that their recruitment is a war crime, what should be prosecuted and what should be ended up. And this is really unacceptable. This girl shouldn't be in a combatant group, in the camps group, because they are sexually abused and they face many problems. What we who are outside the camp can't really get sense of what hard it is to be girl soldier with the camp, living with 1,000 boys and commanders who you have to serve as wives.
So you said that when many do return home, there's a stigma that they have to deal with. Aren't people sympathetic to these children? After all, they were kidnapped by the soldiers, forced to do things they didn't want to do, and now they're coming home with these babies in many cases. I would think that people would embrace them and say, oh, what a terrible thing you've had to endure.
Unfortunately, that is not the case. The also problem has to be seen in our traditional culture. Why? Because the consideration of women or girls in our community is totally different. We are less tolerant to girls and women, since this who have been soldiers, they have been raped. So now they have seem like useless. They can't be getting in marriage. They are like just a kind of useless human being. And this is the fighting what we are now doing through the CSW, and to ask if we can raise our voice to ask for the reconsideration of these women who have been really very innocent victims.
Is that what your organization is doing, Ajedika?
Exactly. Ajedika has successfully make a very wonderful advocacy by influencing the International Criminal Court to prosecute the first case by Thomas Lubanga in The Hague. But unfortunately, the gender issue hasn't been taken in account by the prosecutor of the ICC. That is now the advocacy we're trying to convince the ICC to include in the charges against Thomas Lubanga the sexual slavery as a way to address the sexual violence or sexual abuse on girl soldiers.
My guest is Bukeni Tete Waruzi, who is director of Project Ajedika in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo, where so much fighting took place. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Well, I'm sure that it's hard to reintegrate the boys who have been child soldiers. After all, they've lived lives in which violence was pretty much all that they knew.
Yes, actually, we have to tackle this issue of the reintegration in two sides. First, on boys themselves, if they accept to live again in the community, in the civilian community.
And some of them say they don't want to do that?
Some of them said, usually, I won't get back home because I've killed my parent, I've killed my friend, etc. How this community will be tolerant against me? So usually these are kind of problems what also boys face when they have to come back home.
But can't they go to another part of Congo? Congo is a huge country.
Congo is a huge country, but it is also rich, not naturally, but very poor. Where do we go if there is no resources? You know, there is usually actually this problem of basic infrastructure who can allow these young people to rehabilitate or to regain again.
And I'm not sure you want them in big cities, kids who only know how to get things by aiming a gun at somebody.
Actually, we are based in a very, not very small city because it is a big of 200,000 people, but usually these boys are from rural areas, and when they have to go back home, they have to go in the rural areas, so they don't necessarily live in the big cities.
Now, HIV/AIDS is a big problem throughout Africa these days. What about in the case of these child soldiers?
Exactly. We have produced recently We're Wearing Tomorrow, which is a film produced in partnership with Witness, and we have working through this video to raise awareness about HIV/AIDS in child soldiers, because it is estimated that in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, over 20% are infected by HIV/AIDS, and most of them are young people, and usually girl soldiers and boys, and boy soldiers are the most infected.
Now, you speak to these former child soldiers. What has the impact of Thomas Lubanga going on trial been on them? Has it made a difference in their lives, at least on a psychological level, to know that he may be punished?
Yes, I'm just a little bit satisfied by having Thomas Lubanga being prosecuted in The Hague. But I think the satisfaction will come when this case will have an impact on children in the Democratic Republic in terms of protection, because one of the mandate of the ICC is to protect vulnerable group, especially children. So by this case of Thomas Lubanga, we hope that maybe it will have an impact on the protection of children in Congo, but right now not yet has happened.
Will children be asked to testify against him?
Usually in the process, in the procedures of the prosecution, children may have to testify against Thomas Lubanga. They will be, and they are willing to testify against Lubanga.
Why do you think he isn't being charged with sexual crimes for what happened to the girl soldiers? I'm sure there were people who suggested that to the people at The Hague. And the prosecutor is a woman who in fact, we've spoken to her on the show. She would be very sympathetic to this sort of thing.
You know, this is a kind of a technical thing. You know, it is very difficult for me to say why they didn't come up with this sexual issue, this gender issue. But I think that, and I hope that the prosecutor is working on this issue, and maybe in the future they will come up with this gender issue, because it is so important and it is concerning many people, especially many girls and women in the Democratic Republic. It's a really very big concern within the Congolese population.
I'd imagine it also adds to the instability in Congo. There was a lot of problems after the election, which was contested by the candidate who came in second, and he had his own militia. It's not unimaginable that some of these child soldiers somewhere down the line will become insurgents and start fighting against the government with some other cause in mind.
Yes, you know, that is very usual in African culture of the democratic process. Usually at the first time they try to contest the result, etc. But now the one who lost the election has his own militias, and also we think that he's also guilty in some crimes what his militia has committed in the Democratic Republic of, and we hope maybe one day he will appear before the court in The Hague. We are really hoping to see him appear in the court for different crimes what he's accused for.
Although not necessarily child soldiers.
Not necessarily child soldier, but there is other grave human rights violations what he's really guilty, and we hope that he'll appear for that.
Now, we've heard of cases of child soldiers all over the world.
Yep.
This is not just an African problem. But do you think that the the world is paying enough attention to the problem of child soldiers?
The world is paying enough attention about child soldiers issue, but unfortunately, the world is not doing as much as it can to come over with, because we want to end the use of child soldier. We don't want to see any child soldier, any children being child soldiers. So if the world can pay attention, this should be also make sense that the world is doing enough in ending this this issue of having child soldiers around the world. And this may be done through the prosecution, through the prosecution way. That I think that the International Criminal Court is the one way who actually is the best one who can try to help end the use of child soldier by prosecuting those recruiters.
I want to thank you so much for being with us again. Bukeni Tete Waruzi is director of Project Ajedika in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Thank you so much.